From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good evening. Welcome to our Gospel program. Tonight we start a new study in our considerations of the seven sayings of Christ upon the cross. We're at saying number 3, and we'll be looking at John chapter 19, the verses 26 and 27, in just a moment or two. We will also be having another reading from the book that we're featuring during the month of July and August. We're offering this book free to those listeners who ask for a copy. I have explained that we do not have a limitless supply of copies. We have some left, and I thought it would be good to circulate them amongst the listeners. So if you get in quickly, you will get a free copy of the book, The Shadow of the Antichrist, which is an exposition of the book of the Revelation. Also, I have been mentioning a special tape that I think parents would profit from hearing. It's a sermon preached by the Reverend Paul Fitton in Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church on pocket monsters, the latest craze for children. Parents, I hope that you will request this free tape as well. Now let me read to you from John chapter 19, just two verses, and here we have the third saying of Christ upon the cross. Verse 26, John chapter 19. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now I'm going to read the second extract from the book, The Shadow of the Antichrist. We're still in the introductory chapter of the book in which the book of the Revelation is introduced to the reader. This book centers upon Christ. Indeed, it tells us things about Christ that are only touched upon in other books. This gives us all the more reason to study this book. Christ is the one we should be looking for when we read its pages. While he is not the exclusive subject of the book, I think it may be justifiably said that every subject and person dealt with in this book are set forth in the light of God's glorious purpose in Christ. This book is full of Christ. It explains why the devil opposes its study. Many have been deceived into thinking that this book should not be studied, since it is so mystical and obscure that only the most advanced Christians may benefit from it. If we look for Christ in this book, we shall find much of him to the blessing of our souls, and we shall also preserve ourselves from adopting wild notions and theories about some of the passages that do require careful study. As a suggestion, look for the person of Christ to be revealed in this book. In the very first chapter, there is a detailed description of the glorified Christ walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Since we shall look at that portion in greater detail later, suffice to say that such a description is unique in the New Testament. Again, you will find the power of Christ revealed in this book. Much of the New Testament is taken up with the gospel narrative of Christ in his humility walking amongst men. Here we see him in the heavens, robed with glory and power, and coming to claim his heritage, promised from all eternity by the Father. Also, the position of Christ is revealed. It is so easy to forget, in the midst of the increasingly rebellious deeds and God-defying attitudes of men in the world generally, and in our terror-stricken land in particular, that Christ is upon the throne of this world's affairs. A study of this book will leave us refreshed in soul and peaceful in our minds. It provides us with a visit to God's throne room, there to behold the sovereign power of Jehovah at work in the midst of earth's kingdoms. I hope as you have listened to the reading from the book, The Shadow of the Antichrist, that it has sparked an interest in your heart, and that perhaps you desire to know more about the book of the Revelation. Here's your opportunity. Just send for a copy of this book, and if a copy is available, we will gladly give it to you. Now we're turning to John chapter 19, and the two verses, the verse 26 and the verse 27, in which we have the third saying of the Saviour upon the cross. This saying involves his mother, Mary, and John the disciple. Although no name is given to the disciple here, it is commonly understood to be John. John, in his modesty when writing of himself, does not give his name. Could we perhaps just spend a minute or two introducing our topic this evening? Now there was, of course, many gathered around the cross. There were, of course, the leaders of the Jews, the enemies of the Lord Jesus. And they were standing around the cross, wickedly rejoicing over the death of the Saviour. There were the soldiers there. They were required to be there, and they coldly went about the cruel task of executing the Saviour. But there were others there, and it was love drew them to that place. Mary was one of those drawn there by love. Mary was a woman highly favoured. She was thus saluted by the angel with the news of the birth of Christ. In Luke chapter 1, and we read in the verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And of course the favour that the Lord had bestowed upon this young woman, as she was then, was that she would bear the Redeemer of man. She would be the mother of the Christ, God manifest in the flesh. But Mary was experiencing what every person who has a close and living relationship with Christ experiences, namely the piercing of her soul with many sorrows. As she stood at the cross and beheld her son, he was more than her son, he was her Saviour. And we must never confuse the earthly relationship that Mary had with the Lord Jesus with that eternal and spiritual relationship that she had with Christ, for he was her Saviour. He was her Saviour. And as she looked upon the cross and the Saviour dying there, she had undoubtedly the feelings of a mother, but she also had the feelings of one born again. And her heart was grieved at how the world was treating her Redeemer. So as we feel for Mary in these circumstances, let us look at her, first of all, as an example to all mothers. Here she was, standing at the cross in the day of the Saviour's deep trouble. Is not the lesson for every mother that they should stand by their children in the day of trouble? Others had failed the Saviour. It would appear that Peter was not nearby, nor the other disciples. John seems to be the only one that is close by, but Mary was there. What a wonderful thing a mother's love is. Mary was faithful to her son and to her Saviour. She stood by him in his trouble. She would not disown him. Mary was doing that which our Heavenly Father does for all of his children, faithfully stands by them in the time of trouble. Dear listeners, the prodigal's father displays the tender faithfulness of God, who never forsakes his children. We ought not to forsake our children in the day of their trouble, just as God doesn't forsake his children in the day of their trouble. In Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 5, we are told that the Lord Jesus says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Way back at the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Joshua, in the chapter 1 and the verse 5, the young man who's about to take over from Moses is promised by God his company in these words. Joshua 1 verse 5, therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Praise God, the Lord does not forsake us. And Mary here is an example to us, not to forsake our loved ones in a day of trouble. You will notice that Mary felt the pangs and the sufferings of her son. Of course, she didn't fully understand all that Christ was going through, but she certainly did feel for him. Indeed, the word Mary, the name Mary, bears the meaning of bitterness, and what bitterness of grief must have entered her soul that day. You will notice her silence. She wasn't hysterical. She wasn't wailing, but with quietness and courage, she submitted to that which her son had indicated very clearly was God's purpose and God's will for him. May we learn, likewise, to bear whatever life brings upon us in the sure knowledge that the God of providence is working out his wise design. God bless you. Do remember to tune in next week, in the morning at 10 and in the evening at 9 o'clock. We look forward to having your company.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.